Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. Now, let's join our host, president of the AACC, licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. My guest again today, returning from yesterday, is Julia Jeffress Sadler. I caught up with Julia at a recent NRB convention where she was promoting her new book, Pray Big Things. It has to do with miscarriage and recovery, an important topic that isn't addressed enough with women and new families. Miscarriage is the sudden loss of a pregnancy before the 20th week. About 10 to 20% of known pregnancies, by the way, end in miscarriage. Well, in today's conclusion, we learn of God's miracles. After Julia and her husband Ryan suffered the tragedy and pain of miscarriage, they prayed, and they prayed a very specific prayer for pregnancy, and God answered their prayers. Gave him triplets. But when she was pregnant with the triplets, she was terrified. She had already endured the pain of 3 miscarriages the previous year and was now worried that something was going to happen. On today's edition, Julia reveals that Psalm 30, verse 9 became her prayer during that season. The story is amazing. You're going to love it. After initially going into labor at 23 weeks and spending 49 days on bed rest, she delivered 3 healthy babies. Let's rejoin our time together.
So excited to have you back. We've got a lot to talk about. But hey, congratulations again on your new book, Pray Big Things, The Surprising Life God Has for You When You're Bold Enough to Ask. I love that. And Julie, I'll tell you what, it's convicted me. It's challenging, but it's also encouraging, because when you realize that we do have a God who loves us and who loves his children like a father loves his sons and daughters and more, it means everything to us. He's there for us, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yes.
Julia, your story yesterday was pretty fascinating. God calls you and Ryan to begin to really look to him and to be courageous enough to pray with expectation from a great God. And you start praying some pretty bold things and kind of stunning things.
Yeah.
Give us the list again of things you were praying for, and we're going to talk about how God began to answer them, and then the challenges that come with all of that expectation.
Yes. Yeah, so we decided we're going to make a list of 20 things we were going to pray till God said no or until he clearly said yes. And we weren't telling anyone. So it was just the two of us. And we just decided to dream as big as we could. And what were those things if we weren't embarrassed, you know, to ask God, what were those things that we would ask him if we could ask him anything? Mm-hmm. And on that list were 3 children. That was just our heart's desire. We wanted 3 and we wanted multiples. Twins. I didn't really ever think anything differently, but that was something I remember. It was just Ryan and me. So that was something we'd always wanted. For our student ministry to just catch a love for evangelism. And really, Ryan and I developed a love for witnessing as teenagers, and we wanted that to happen in our student ministry. There are different people that we were really hoping to get sober from their addiction. So that was on there. But the main thing we talk about in this book is the three children multiples and for God to do more than anything we could hope or
imagine.
And
oh, by the way, a TV show and maybe writing a book.
Oh, yes, yes.
All that.
Mom brain, sorry.
It's amazing, though, because God begins to go to work in your life, probably not the way you thought he would. Mm-hmm. Julia shared yesterday about three failed pregnancies mm-hmm. and where it took you.
Yes.
And it was a dark place. Mm-hmm. Just share again a little bit of what happened.
Yes. So we ended up praying these big prayers and getting pregnant immediately and thinking, that was easy. God just wants to bless us, apparently, but ended up losing three babies in less than 7 months. And we definitely, I always say it was God's, like one of God's biggest graces to me that I became a therapist before all this happened, because I did know, at least I knew that I needed to feel and needed to stay close to Ryan and needed to stay close to God. But it was very much the most spiritual warfare we'd ever felt, because every loss coincided with a huge spiritual milestone going on in our ministry or in our church. And so the temptation to give up was real. I mean, it really was there. I remember one time just feeling so much, not give up my faith, but give up on, okay, mm-hmm. like this pray big things. Well, I mean, come on, what was this? And one time I had, it was when my 13th friend got pregnant and she was announcing it. That's just unheard of to have like 13 pregnant friends while you're going through all this. And everybody was cheering down the hall at work. And I just shut my door and wow. I really just felt taunted. Like that Satan was just mocking me. And I stood up and I said, I know my God hasn't forgotten me, so you better bring it, because I'm not going anywhere. And I just felt like I had to say that. Like, I was like, I'm not going to give up my faith. I was saved, so I don't believe you can lose your salvation. But I was like, I'm not going to suddenly fall off. I'm going to go all in, and maybe I'll get pregnant and maybe I won't. But I'm not going to give in to you. And I mean, I really felt like that was the biggest moment in all of this.
And it's easy, by the way, to get caught up in a lot of emotional dysregulation, mm-hmm. insanity, if you will, meaning I just like can't get control of myself. I go back to what we were talking about yesterday. What is it? 1 in 5, mm-hmm. 1 in 6 women mm-hmm. Are unable to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And think about Hannah. In the right. Bible, what she went through. I think a lot of people around her thought she was a crazy woman. You know, hear what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. it goes deep into your soul. Mm-hmm. And I know you work with a lot of women and families, marriages, trying to bring hope into that kind of darkness. Mm-hmm. Speak into that. You talk in the book, and this is important, about getting wise counsel, mm-hmm. about keeping your head here, about pressing into a God who is there for you and battling through the discouragement, the confusion, the anger, the depression, and more. Mm-hmm. And you give a lot of time to dealing with anxiety or fear.
Yes, I do. I think realizing there's only so much you can take. Even if you're a Christian, I mean, that's just not something we hear usually on Sunday morning. Remember, there's only so much you can take. People are like, what? I'm like, that wasn't very encouraging. But no one explained to me that whenever you lose a baby, like it's the same hormone-wise as giving birth. So how everyone understands postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety and just the postpartum period in general, that mm-hmm. time period. No one explained that to me, that anytime you go from being pregnant to not being pregnant, even if that baby isn't born, your emotions are still messed up. So that was 3 times in a year, which we haven't even got to. So technically it ends up being 6 babies in a year. So that was very up and down. And I think going back to, I mean, there's really only so much you can take without getting help from other people. And I told you yesterday, there was just a time where I really, not that I could only talk to counselors. I mean, you know, when you're in this profession, you have lots of friends that are counselors. But I had friends that maybe that wasn't their background, but they definitely were more empathetic. And so protecting myself from who got to speak into my life, and then realizing I maybe don't have to go to every friend's baby shower while we're going through this.
Because it triggers me.
Right. So practically taking care of yourself and spiritually.
Julia, in this piece, And we know that suffering is a part of life. And some people, you hear people talk about finding purpose in our pain, you know, that your mess will become your message. And I'll tell you what, when you're in it, you don't want to hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, get away from me. But help us understand that, mm-hmm. because it is important mm-hmm. that we press into it.
Yeah. Well, so whenever I think about that, I think more about we ended up getting pregnant with the triplets and we thought, okay, home run, like this one for the home team. Everybody can rejoice. Like there was suffering. We can put a nice bow on it. Pregnant with triplets. Isn't God good? I mean, it was just, wow. Like we got to see this is what God was doing the whole time. And I remember I was excited for a day and then I just got like stricken with anxiety. Like that was the first night I never slept. And I was terrified, just absolutely terrified. What if it happens again? What if
we, again.
I mean, just terrified. And it was to the point I wouldn't let anyone say the word triplets. The first, I don't even remember if this is in the book or not, but it was so fresh when I wrote the book, but that first trimester, I couldn't even say it. And so scared. And usually with like pregnancies that are just with one baby, they said, well, at 12 weeks, you're in the clear. And I remember asking my doctor, so when am I in the clear? Like, when can I stop feeling this way? He goes, never. Because what happens is it's usually at about week 20 where most people lose triplets. And so it was like, so week 20, I mean, that's like in your third trimester. Right. So I was like, I can't take this. And so we were on vacation and I was too, you know, moms listening, y'all know pregnancy brain. It was like times three. So like, I couldn't put sentences together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm just going to pray scripture. I was like, I need to pray scripture. I need to pray what's already in the Bible. Yeah. So I started praying Psalms and I just claimed it like never before. I said, God, I mean, you say who is going to praise you if we go down into the pit, who's going to praise you? And I said, I need you to do this and I need you to tell me it's going to be okay. And it was a completely overcast day. And like Ryan and I were praying and I was like, do you see this? And we like peeked our eyes and we were outside. Everything's dark. And I'm not kidding. There was a light just on us, on Ryan and me, where the clouds were coming through. And it was just things like that timing. But that God knew. God knew I couldn't take it. Like, he knew how upset I was. And he did little things like that. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but he helped me that day and every day after. So then at 23 weeks, whenever I went into labor and the doctor came in and said, I'm sorry, like, they're not going to make it. I heard God as loudly as I've ever heard anything, him say, no. And I felt that in my spirit. But then it was 49 days of laying in a bed saying, okay, where are you? Are you going to do this? And, you know, there's not a scripture that said everybody. I felt that it was going to be okay, but it was terrifying. And the doctor comes in saying, everyone's probably not going to make it. I mean, that's really scary.
What do you say to that woman, that man right now listening, and they're praying? Mm-hmm. They're crying out to God for some miracle for mm-hmm. their kid to come home, mm-hmm. save them from some drug problem,
yeah,
you know, or just the lostness of closeness mm-hmm. in a loving relationship or something, whatever is ripping or tearing their heart out mm-hmm. about persevering here.
Yeah. Well, with it, I always think about the prodigal son, of course, and just that really it's not over till it's over. And that's just true. I mean, I've worked with so many families that have had children go away and they don't come back until they're much older and it's very hard, or they never see that child come back and it's very difficult. And I don't want to like pretend like everything, of course, is going to be okay. Anytime I write our story, it's very difficult because I know all kinds of people that didn't have this happen.
Right.
They had really bad things happen. They didn't have some miracle story to write about. And so I think I get concerned sometimes with Pray Big Things because I want people to remember, just like we prayed for the triplets, we prayed for those other babies to survive too, and they didn't. So I do understand it doesn't always work out how we want it to. But I believe that God's sovereign, and I know that sometimes people roll their eyes at that. But that is the hope we have as Christians. It is the hope we have that one day we are going to understand.
In the midst, even in our darkest hour, God's there, mm-hmm. and that he is at work, mm-hmm. and that his plans are being fulfilled, mm-hmm. and that he can give us the comfort that we need in our soul. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your host. We're talking today with Julia Jeffress Sadler. Amazing work called Pray Big Things, The Surprising Life God Has For You When You're Bold Enough to Ask. Sheila Walsh said this, Julia shows us clearly how to pray big prayers to an even bigger God. Julia, I want to go a little bit deeper here because your book is prescriptive. You give strategic plans on how to battle through all this stuff. And I'm going to stay with the unanswered prayer piece just for a moment because it's tough when you feel like God doesn't hear you or you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. And a lot of that has to do with us. I don't think we get that. You know that? Mm-hmm. You feel the same way?
Yes, but because we don't know the full story for sure.
There you
yes.
go. Yeah, of course.
Yes, but that is very difficult. Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to someone before this and they were saying, what's going on with young people today? What do they think about the Bible? And we know that a lot of people are leaving the church, this generation of young people, and they usually cite because they can't understand how God allows suffering. That's always like one of the top three questions of why people are leaving the church for young people. It's why does God allow suffering? And the person asked me, well, is that like globally? Like they don't understand why does God allow something in the Ukraine or in their personal lives? And, you know, as a counselor, you just have a different view of you get to see. It's a privilege to get to be invited into so many people's lives and really see what they're going through. But I found it is more people wondering, no, why did God let this happen to me? And I remember this girl, everybody was really upset. She was at student ministry and they're saying, this girl, she's decided that she's a Wiccan. And we're like, oh, okay. And so they're like, Julia, you have to talk to her. And I was like, okay. Like, and so I went and talked to her and she said, yes. And I said, well, have you accepted Christ as your savior? She said, yes. And I did that. And I said, so, you know, instead of, you know, you shouldn't be a Wiccan, right? It was, so what's, you know, what's going on? She said, well, I was a Christian and I prayed for God to heal my dad and my dad died and God did not answer that prayer. And I met someone at school who does witchcraft and she made something happen, you know, who knows? And so I think I'm just going to go that way now. And it was really this heavy moment, of course. And she expected me to say, well, you know, none of that's real. And I said, you know, all that's real, right? I said, it's real. It's just really going to hurt you. And I think realizing that a lot of times we really are just concerned about, I mean, it's just human nature. We're concerned about ourselves. We want to know where God was in our suffering, but we don't need to go a direction into something that's going to hurt us. God doesn't hurt us, even if we don't understand.
Julia, praying through unanswered prayers mm-hmm. is important because it's not about us. It's really about God mm-hmm. and seeking him and his ways and his will mm-hmm. and believing that he's a good God, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when we have that mindset, you talk about mindset in here, mm-hmm. you got to get that straight. You know, if you're battling fear and anxiety, it really is about getting those thoughts right and getting rid of that stinking thinking that often creeps in. Mm-hmm. But getting the mindset going. And then you talk a lot about giving thanks mm-hmm. in all things. You know, and Paul in Philippians 4 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving,
right.
let your requests be made known to God. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about how you did that in the dark times.
Yes. So I love how practical scripture is. And I mean, exactly what you just said, there's so many just prescriptions in scripture. So giving thanks, of course, it just changes everything. Being able to see what you still can be thankful for, what you still can give thanks to God for. And so for us, it was really important for us to look at our lives and notice, like take notice of what's going on spiritually. Like I mentioned before, okay, we obviously are devastated that we're losing the pregnancies, but how amazing that we're having this evangelism, just complete rejuvenation in our ministry, and how amazing that we were alive. I mean, it's just taking inventory of your life, because we take so many things for granted, and that was just huge for us.
Yeah, because you can get lost again in the darkness.
Right.
It's like a kid when you're growing up, you have a pimple on your face. When you look in the mirror, the only thing you can see is that. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
It just changes your lens. But when you can see the beauty for a moment,
right?
Boy, I tell you what, it just redials us in.
Yes.
In it, you also talk about persistence, never quitting.
Yes.
I know you quote Churchill and a lot of people in the chapter.
Love Churchill.
Yeah. And I just think about it's the hardest thing in the whole world, but the most important thing. It's just keep on going.
Right.
Just one step in front of another. Mm-hmm. It's okay to get knocked down. Mm-hmm. It's okay to, you know, cry out. It's okay to feel confused and lost, but it's not okay to stay there, right?
Right.
You got to keep going.
Absolutely.
How do we keep going?
Yes. So I think you keep going by staying grounded, and it's a counseling term, of course, but it's in scripture. We have to stay rooted to God's word and grounded in it, and decide it doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what diagnosis I just got. I know God is good, and I know that he loves me. And then everything else definitely stems from that. But then I think also what we talked about earlier, I mean, there's only so much you can take. What were we supposed to do? Have 20 miscarriages? I mean, there's only so much you can take. So practically, what needs to happen so that you can keep going? If you're supposed to persist, if the Bible says you can with this power, okay, so practically, what do I need to do to make sure this actually happens? And, you know, there were people, I keep going back to this just because I do see this conversation a lot in Christian circles. It's not cutting off people, but sometimes you have to be very careful with who is going to have the main voice in your life. And that was very important for us. I think it's very important not to get hung up on, but know your personality, know your spiritual gift, know your love language. And I mean, when you're in crisis or in trauma, you are going to have to not selfishly take care of yourself, but you got to protect yourself, because there's really a spiritual battle going on.
Julia, I think the thing I love most in our conversation is I know that he is good, that his heart is toward me. Mm-hmm. I can hold on to that.
Yeah.
And I can persevere because of it. And so as I press into that piece of who he is, that's what helps me, gives me that fight.
Yes.
To keep on going. Mm-hmm. Julia, I'd love for you to just speak again in closing to our listeners out there about daring to pray big and bold things, because you never know.
Right.
Who, when, how, what God's up to.
Yes.
But he is up to something.
Absolutely. I think praying big things just allows you to be a part of the bigger plan. There's a reason we like superhero movies. There's a reason we like these alternate universes. But the thing is, we are a part of one. We are part of something supernatural. And prayer helps us to partner with God and be a part of this other world. And it can be hard, but in the end, it's a different kind of existence. It's a different kind of understanding and experience on earth. This isn't our home. And I think that prayer helps just bridge that gap, and it's going to change your life. I believe it.
I love what the Hebrew writer said. He said, those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you shall seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That's what this is all about. And do we dare put an expectation on God to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond that which we're able to ask or even think? That's a great story. Julia, you have any resources that go along with the book, Pray Big Things?
Yes, at ptv.org/Julia is the website. And I have a Bible study called Sparrow. It's four videos and it's teaching about infertility and miscarriage, but it's more for couples. I have questions at the end that you can go through with your spouse.
Our special guest again today is Julia Jeffress Sadler. Her book is Pray Big Things, a surprising life God has for you when you're bold enough to ask.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?